Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is our custom, Saba and I, as we travel around the country, to bring you greetings from the last three churches that we visited. And that's why this stuff is in here in the order of service. So you might know who's been praying for you and who you might pray for. And we've asked them if we could do this. This is not just a thing we cook up. We put it before them, and they have always, all of them said, yeah, do that enthusiastically. So we bring you greetings from Christ Lutheran in Rochester, Minnesota. Have you heard of it? Yes, you have. And then from St. John's Lutheran in Winsted, Minnesota, which is just north of where we park, what I mentioned in Hollywood. You know that big country music, that festival they have up there? That's where they have it. Some of the people there, it's a big park in our fields. You know, and one guy found an active driver's license of a lady in South Dakota in his woods. Where's the body? You know, but unfortunately, she had lost it and was still breathing. But it's that, you know, they have that every year, all these people come in. So Trinity Lutheran in Hudson, Wisconsin also greets you in the name of Jesus. And they're perched, you know, just on the hill there overlooking the St. Croix River, and across you see God's country from there. My wife is from Wisconsin, so as long as I can, I say that. She shakes her head because she doesn't have a microphone right now. She does, but don't turn it on. So at any rate, I don't want to say all that stuff because the people in all these places are interesting, and you probably don't know them, but they have lives very much like yours, and in some ways very different, and they're all following the same Lord, one faith, one God, one Father of all, one baptism, and so forth. So they greet you in the name of Jesus. And if you like, we will take your greetings to the next three churches that we visited. And I saw these people nodded subtly, and that man is nodding, and I will tell them that you were wildly enthusiastic because this is a Lutheran congregation. That is. So you will greet our Savior's Lutheran in Excelsior, Minnesota. And they just closed their school last year. Couldn't keep it open anymore. They had a big, strong, long-standing school. So they're going through some changes there. You might pray for that. St. John's Lutheran in Hollywood. That's, what, a mile or so from where we get up and drive a mile to church for once. They will greet you. Little tiny congregation hanging on along the highway there in the rural lands, and St. Matthew's Lutheran in Worthington, Minnesota will also greet you, or you will greet them rather. So also I bring you greetings from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. That's where I'm on staff actually as a pastoral missionary at large. We've been doing this for a while, and they saw what we were doing, and they found out we didn't have any health insurance, and that was way back when, and they said, We'll take you on in that regard, give you a place to call home and issue you a call, and please go do this in our name. So I greet you from them. They're about a mile from the Atlantic Ocean there on a long stretch of beach that disappears into the horizon on both sides. And it's a tough job, but somebody has to live there. So I greet you. All right, well, so what do you know about Samaritans? We hear about Samaritans. Probably most of what you or your neighbors hear is the Good Samaritan. We only know of the Good Samaritan. Have you ever heard about the Bad Samaritan? Not too popular. But a Good Samaritan is what? I give you permission to talk during the sermon. So tell me, what is a Good Samaritan?
Along the road to help.
Yeah, somebody along the road is, yeah. And didn't they make a law recently? Is it a federal law or a state law? Is it a Good Samaritan law? Some places have it. I guess I'm not familiar with it. But, you know, sometimes people want to stop and help, and they inadvertently do more harm than good, like somebody who has a neck injury or something, you know. So there's Good Samaritan laws to protect those people against being sued for trying to help, that sort of thing. So a Good Samaritan is somebody, you know, who doesn't pass by on the other side like the priest and the Levite did, but stops, and maybe we can render some assistance. We've had a couple of flat tires with our We've had a lot of flat tires with our trailer, fewer now, and we've had a couple of people stop by. One time in Kansas, it was busy, like rush hour. I mean, rural Kansas, but there's a rush hour, and we were pulled off to the very narrow road. I had to go underneath the trailer to change the tire, reach around and change the tire, because there's no way I was sticking myself out on that road. And off comes this fellow who's a just coming home from his job with the highway department. He's got the truck with the yellow lights. He's got a back end full of cones, you know. Thank you. And he sets them out, and he puts out his flag, you know, and everybody slows down. And that's the kind of Good Samaritan you really want to have help you when you have a tire problem. they're equipped, or at least willing to extend themselves and give what they have to help you out. And all of that is wonderful, and entirely misses the point of this story. It's not what this is saying. It's always a good thing to help your neighbor. But in this case, there's a lot more going on. And let me explain that by going to another Samaritan at another time and place, when Jesus, in another book, the book of John, where Jesus is not doing what most of the Jews did, that is to go down to Jericho from Jerusalem and then go up the Jordan River Valley and avoid Samaria altogether, because those people are horrible. And you don't want to go through their land. They hate, if we're, say, living in Jerusalem, traveling to Galilee, say, or living in Galilee as a Jew coming to Jerusalem, you go, well, from your perspective, go way around them. There's Judea here. There's the Jordan River, the Sea of Galilee, and Galilee up here. And in between, though, is basically old Israel and Samaria and the Samaritans. So the city of Samaria is right here. And they worship on Mount Gerizim. They have not a temple like in Jerusalem, but they have a place of worship up there. And that's where the Samaritans worship, and that's where they say God told them to worship, and that's where they're always supposed to worship. And those heretics down in Jerusalem, those Jews who came back from Babylonian captivity with all sorts of strange ideas, they're not the true children of Abraham like we are, the Samaritans say. They're heretics and kind of like Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or that sort of thing, right? Really, they have the same trappings, but they're not really us. God doesn't like them. That's what the Samaritans said about the Jews. Now, if you're a Jew hearing that said about you, what's your feeling toward that? Oh, well, probably not. You went through a hard time in Babylonian captivity. The Lord, the prophets have spoken about the return to the land. And now here's these people who say, well, we never left. We're the true Israelites. So you can see, and nobody fights like brothers. I mean, who are the really awful mainline Protestants from the perspective of more evangelical conservative Protestants? If you're Lutheran, it's the ELCA. Those people are really awful. I mean, Methodists are bad and Presbyterians, but the really awful ones are, but isn't that how it goes? Yeah. Nobody fights like brothers, right? People who are close together. Do you have a brother? Is that why you're saying that? Yeah. Okay, all right.
He has a sister.
Same difference, only different, yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. Now, pack in all sorts of societal loyalties and loyalties to one's tribe and community and your religion. I mean, don't talk about religion and politics. That's all this was about. It's a bitter, bitter hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. Okay? So Jesus takes his disciples right through the middle of Samaria on their way from one to the other, Galilee and Jerusalem, instead of going around. And he stops at a place called Jacob's Well, as if it wasn't already pointed enough. And the woman there, the Samaritan woman at one point says, are you tell me you can give me living water, whoever you are, this Jew who asked me for a drink of water? You know I'm unclean, right, by your standards. You know I'm a horrible person. I'm a Samaritan woman. And you want me to give you a drink? You want me to take some unclean vessel of mine, gather water and pour it, and you're going to put it to your lips? Who are you? I don't know any Jews like you. Well, why do you ask me for a drink of water? And he said, if you'd known who was talking to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You know where he's going with that. She didn't know. The Holy Spirit. He's talking himself into her through this conversation. She's a Samaritan, so she says, well, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? She says, yeah. She's doing what Jews and Samaritans do. Yeah. By the end of the conversation, though, she's left her water jar there, still hasn't gathered any, goes a half mile back to town to tell the people, come and see this man. I think he might be the Messiah. John probably put this in his account. You know, John comes later, and he's telling us things that Matthew, Mark, and Luke did, and he knew very well that they had written, and he's saying, these things also need to be said. And he sets Nicodemus, the Jewish leader, here. And Nicodemus just disappears in the story. We don't even know what happened to him. You're a teacher of Israel. You don't know the thing. You went through this earlier. And then there's a bit about John the Baptist. And then at noon, midnight, Nicodemus at noon. This is not an accident. He's a good author. He's telling us things. When lights are completely out, light in John, the light is the life of all men. Light is a very big deal in John. So at noon, Jesus speaks to this horriblest of people, a Samaritan woman who's been married 5 times and now is living with a guy who's not her husband. John presents us with the worst case scenario. Surely this person can't come into the kingdom of God. And in the span of a short conversation, at the end of which she tries a last ditch effort to put him off by saying, well, you say we should worship in Jerusalem, but we worship here in Samaria, so what do you say? You know, if you want to get out of a tight conversation with God, talk religion. Does that make any sense? Yeah. But it didn't work. He was after her. And she finally says, well, when the Messiah comes, he'll explain everything. She's looking for the Messiah. Well, here he is. And he says, this is the first, you know, of all the I am sayings in John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven. On and on it goes. This is the first one. It doesn't often make it onto the posters, but it is the first one. And he says, I am, simply, the one speaking with you. Isn't that where God wants to start? Before he says all the other I am, tells us everything else about him, the first thing he wants to do is speak with us. Come close, come near, and engage in conversation. So of course, that makes perfect sense in retrospect that he would say that first. I am the one speaking with you now. So, Samaritans. Jesus goes to great lengths to make the point that he will reach out to anyone. And that they had a lot in common, he and that woman. Although it wouldn't seem so to look at them. See, you're weary, I am weary too. You seem wary of those who would be cruel to you, and you've been disappointed. I have too, but I am he who brings you something new. I am the living water who slakes your thirst forever. I am he who knows what you've been through. I am the one who tells you everything you've ever done. I am, and I will speak with you. You are lonely, I'll wear that on my brow. You are as broken as your promises and vows. And you've become a scandal, I have to, and I know how. To turn a stumbling stone into a building block right now. For I am the living water who slakes your thirst forever. I am he who knows what you've been through. I am the one who tells you everything you've ever done, and I'm still here. I will speak with you. I will speak to you of mercy. I will speak to you my peace. I will speak to you my spirit, and hostilities will cease. For I am the living water who slakes your thirst forever. I am he who knows the every places you've been through. And I am the one who tells you everything you've ever done. I am the one who tells you everything I've ever done for you. And I will speak with you. I will speak with you.